Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
God's calling is a wonderful and mysterious thing. He calls many people to many different works, but the highest call to all of His people, regardless of our own personal interests or desires, is to be fully occupied in the building up of His habitation. In the Old Testament, it was first the tabernacle and later the temple. But today, this building work and our calling is related to the church. Stay with us for today's classic life study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Bob Danker has joined us once again in the studio to be part of this program. Bob, I'm happy that you're here, particularly for this one. This is a marvelous message today.
Yes, Chris, this is a marvelous message, and I'm very glad to be with you.
Bob, after all of the instructions had been given for the tabernacle, the furnishings, the priestly garments, and the various items associated with the tabernacle, then the Lord began to call the builders to give themselves to this work of constructing and fashioning all these spiritual items. This is a work worth giving ourselves to, isn't it?
Yes, Chris, this is the most worthwhile and the most noble work in the universe. This is the work of building up a dwelling place for God. And to have a part in this work is the highest privilege that anyone can be given.
Bob, let's go ahead and look at a couple of verses in Exodus 31 as we prepare to join Witness Lee for his portion on this message today. Dealing with the workers of the tabernacle, this is verses 4 and 5, to fashion skillful designs, to work in gold and in silver and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for setting, and in the carving of wood, to work in all kinds of workmanship. Bob, that's the background. Let's join Witness Lee.
If we are going to build up the church, all have to know how to devise skilled works to work. Not to work in bricks, not to work on muddy pieces. We don't use those muddy things. Bricks, we use gold. Amen. We use silver. Amen. We use bronze. We have studied all these types already. Gold is just God Himself as the nature. And silver is just Christ, including His redemption and His crucifixion. And bronze is just God's righteous judgment. So today, if we are going to build up the church, all have to know how to use our today's gold. That's God. You see? How to use our today's Christ, the silver. And how to use God's righteous judgment, that's bronze. Then we go on to cutting of stones for siting. Siting here really equals building. Cutting of the stones for building up. This is to help the saints to be transformed into stone and to be adjusted to fit in God's building. When you are fellowshipping, you should know how to cut stones. There is the need of some cutting. You know this, to put a stone into the wall. And that piece of stone needs some cutting. Otherwise, that could never be set in. The proper siting needs some cutting. This is not just a teaching. It's quite exposing. This is quite enlightening.
Bob, if we desire to be those that the Lord can use for the building up of the real tabernacle on earth today, we need to know what it is to work in the way that He has ordained. That is, with these materials, gold and silver and bronze, and also to be skillful in cutting and in setting the precious stones. What do these pictures point to, Bob, in our own experience?
Well, Chris, of course we know that the tabernacle was a physical building made up of physical materials. But as we have seen in the past weeks, all of these physical materials have a spiritual significance. For instance, we know that gold signifies God's divine nature, and silver signifies Christ's redemption, and bronze signifies God's righteous judgment. And also we have the precious stones that were in the breastplate of the high priest. These signify the transformed believers, those believers who were transformed by the Holy Spirit. And so forth. We have wood, we have acacia wood also as one material in this building. This signifies the resurrected, uplifted humanity of the God-man, Jesus. So all these materials have a spiritual significance, and the building that we are building is not physical. It is a spiritual building, and this spiritual building today is the church. And so in order for us to build the church, we need to acquire some skills. We need to acquire some wisdom, some understanding, some knowledge concerning these divine materials and how to work with them so that we can actually do the work of building. As Witness Lee was speaking here in his section of this message, he said that to cut stones for setting, he referred to this in Exodus 31, stones, as we have seen, are transformed believers. So in order to build up God's dwelling place, we need to know how to help people to be transformed, to become stones. And once they have become stones, then we need to learn how to help them to fit in with other stones to be a part of God's building. So this is one skill that Witness Lee referred to. How many believers today have this kind of skill? How many believers can help others to open themselves and to experience the transforming work of the Spirit? And also, once they have been transformed to become precious stones, then they need to be cut in a way that makes them able to fit in with others to be a part of God's building. You can see there's much skill required here, not in dealing with physical materials, but in dealing with these divine materials, which signify Christ and the virtues of his person and his work, and also signify the believers who are transformed by Christ.
Bob, practically speaking, this matter of the cutting and setting of the stones, I think most believers can identify with this to some degree, that there are occasions when we're interacting with other members, and not by anybody setting out to necessarily do anything purposefully, but nonetheless, in the context that the Lord places us in that operation in the body, many times we get cut, don't we?
Yes, many times in just fellowshipping with another brother, the Lord has the way to cut us, to make us fitting for the building.
So we shouldn't despise this cutting. It's really the work of the master builder so that we can have a place to fit in.
Yes, it is.
Bob, in this portion ahead, we want to look at the men that the Lord chose to be the master builders. We can see them in chapter 31 and also in chapter 35. In chapter 31, verse 1, it says, "And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, and with knowledge, and with all kinds of workmanship. And now I myself have appointed with him Oholiab of the tribe of Dan, and in the heart of all who are wise in heart I have put wisdom, that all that I have commanded you, and he has put it in his heart to teach, both he and Oholiab, the son of Ahizamach, of the tribe of Dan." Bob, these two were master builders, weren't they?
Yes, for the building of the tabernacle, God particularly called and raised up two men. One was Bezalel, who was the master builder. It says here that God filled him with his Spirit, and with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and with all kinds of skills in working with materials and building. And then there was a co-master builder named Oholiab. And this one God also raised up purposely. And these two were the leading ones in doing the work of God's building. However, they were not the only ones to do the work. Actually, most of the work was not done by them, but it was done by many, many others who I would say were taught by these two. God put it in their hearts to teach. Through their teaching, the other people of Israel participating in this building work, they were equipped and they were enabled to do the work. The master builder, he's the one who has the blueprint for the building. He knows all the aspects and all the details, and he even has the skill to train others to do this kind of building work. In order for God to build up his habitation on this earth, there must be one in particular raised up by him to be a master builder. And in the New Testament, we see the same thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul said, "I am a wise master builder." He said, "I laid the foundation, but let every man be careful how he builds on this foundation." This shows us that Paul was the master builder and that all the believers are the co-builders. But in order for the believers to know how to build, they need to learn from the master builder. They have to be one with the master builder, and they need to be under the teaching of the master builder.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The first master builder was of the tribe of Judah, which is a kingly tribe, the tribe of the Lord Jesus. But this one, the co-master builder, and his name is Aholiab, is of the tribe whose estate was the lowest, the very low, poor, even mean tribe that was there. This indicates in God's building, the building work must comprise high estate and low estate. Regards kingly or lowly. As long as you are a people among God's children, you must be counted on. You must be included. In the building up of the temple later, the master builder was King Solomon, and he was from the tribe of Judah. And then he got a co-master who was of the tribe of Dan again. And his estate even was lower because he was only a son of a daughter of the tribe of Dan. And her husband was a Terran. So you see, the Bible is wonderful. In building the temple, you have the co-master from the kingly tribe, Judah, and you have a co-builder from the lowly tribe of Dan. Then in building up the temple, in principle, the same. The master builder came from the tribe of Judah. Even he was the king, Solomon. And his co-master builder was one from the tribe of Dan. This is the Bible. Don't think this is all coincidental. No. This is all under God's sovereignty. This co-master builder, his main job, according to record, was to teach. He was wise, no doubt, but he should have picked up all the wisdom, all the understanding, and all the knowledge, mainly from Basileo. Then he went out to teach others. This shows us a very beautiful and nice coordination. Of course, in chapter 35, it says clearly not only Aholiab, but also Basileo. They both taught. If you read, you could see, actually, the teaching was mainly on a holier part. In the building of the church, there is the need of adequate teachings. We need someone to be today's a holier, to teach the saints concerning God's building according to the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and skill that has all been received by the Master Builder.
Bob, as a practical example, of course, those of us who have been associated with this ministry and have had firsthand experience, at least with Witness Lee, and of course we know from his own words, his relationship with Brother Nee before that, it seems that in this century, at least these two have somewhat followed in the pattern here that we've been given in this building, as God gave the building work in plan and design to Moses and then to the people, haven't we?
Yes, Chris, I believe you are right here. I believe in this century, God has raised up two men in particular to be the master builders, to be those who have the full revelation of God's building, and also they know the materials, they know Christ, they know His work, they know His person, and they know how to work with Christ and all the aspects of Christ so that God's people can enjoy this Christ and be built up in this Christ. If we want to participate in God's building, then we need to be taught by these master builders. Then we will know what God's building is, and we will have the wisdom and the skill to do our part.
Bob, let's go back to Witness Lee.
To do every work of the engraver, we need some craftsmen. Then of skillful workmen. God's instruction is very much in detail. The engraver, or the craftsman, is one in some special craft. And the embroidery, in the ancient time, it should be all female workers. The ladies doing the embroideries in blue, that means in heavens. In purple, that means what? In royalty, in kingship. And then in scarlet, this means in redemption. So you sisters, when you are participating in the building up of the church work, you need to know, to have the understanding and wisdom how to work out embroidery in the heavenlies, and in the kingship of Christ, and in the redemption. The embroideries, and the weaver, and the doers of every work, and the planners of designs. By all these, you can see the building up of God's dwelling place is a fine work. It's all together. Not a rough work, very fine. All these vocabularies are used. One is always very close to the next one. The doers of every work, the planners of designs. You can see all these words are very close one to another. It indicates the finer work of the building up of the church. All the people were given by God wisdom and understanding. Here doesn't say knowledge, because generally speaking, most of people have the knowledge which is common. But what is needed is wisdom and understanding. Then you have a wise heart. You become a wise-hearted man. Then you have been stirred up by your heart. You have the heart so hot, so burning for God's building. And this burning heart stirs you up to participate in the building up of the church. We all need such a heart. And this is our motive. There's a kind of motor within us.
Bob, we've been looking at the master builder, Bezaleel, and his co-master builder, Aholiab. Now we've come to look at those whom else God has put it in their heart to rise up and give themselves to this work. How does this compare, what we've seen here, to the situation as it exists today among God's people, would you say?
Well, Chris, among God's people today, there are many different kinds of works that are going on. But I wonder if these works are really for the one work of building up God's dwelling place. It seems that this gifted minister or preacher has his work and another one has his work, and it seems that these works are not one in doing one work, that is, to build up God's dwelling place. Actually, there really should be only one work among all God's people, and that work should be the unique work of building up the church as God's dwelling place today. And this work should be done under the Master Builder. So today there is a great need for the believers in Christ, for God's people today, to have their heart stirred up by God, not to do their own work, not to do a work for themselves or a work that is separate from the works of others, but to do the one work that is revealed in the whole Bible, and that work is the work of building up the church as God's dwelling place. This is the only work that we as God's children today should be doing, and we need to do it together in oneness and in harmony, and we need to do it under the Master Builder, and we need to do it with a willing heart, a heart that is made willing by God.
Bob, we've seen a lot happen in the past few weeks, even in the worldly situation. Undeniable increase in earthquakes, and of course we're coming to the end of the millennium, and a lot of anxiety in a lot of worldly people, and I think anticipation maybe in the hearts of a lot of God's people. And we're, of course, not in here to make predictions or anything like that, but at least there is something beginning to stir in people, both those who belong to the Lord and maybe those who don't yet, that something seems to be happening. But in this time, particularly, if it is this kind of crucial time, is there anything that a person desiring to serve the Lord could give themselves to more meaningful than what we've touched today, the very unique building up of God's habitation on earth?
Chris, there is nothing in the universe more meaningful than this. Actually, all the things that you mentioned, the earthquakes and the wars and so forth, these are the outward signs of the end of the age. But the real sign of the end of the age is the building up of the church. And actually, this is what will bring in the end of this age, and this will bring Christ back to the earth and will bring in God's kingdom.
We began, Bob, today by saying that this was the highest call to all of God's people, regardless of our own personal interests or desires, and we end on the same note. It's a good note to end on, Bob.
Excellent.
Thank you for your fellowship today.